Welcome. I'm Christopher, the pastor here at Abbeydale Christian Fellowship, and it is my joy to preach this day. Each Sunday we gather because we gather and remember that we are here because our Lord has died and then he rose on the first day. And the first day is special because it's the anniversary of Jesus. This first day of the week is special because it is the anniversary of Jesus' resurrection, the first day of new creation. As we heard in Wes's reading of 1 Corinthians 15, our faith, the good news of our salvation, rests on Jesus dying and being raised from the dead. We are resurrection people. And my prayer today is that in this sermon, our hope would be renewed and strengthened. Our faith would be grounded in the resurrection and then set loose a new creation life. And that we go from here in awe of what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do to forgive and make us his own. And how much more he has for us because new creation life is unleashed. And the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is raised from the dead. He is risen. Our faith is grounded and springs forth from this reality. Jesus is resurrected. And the resurrection of Jesus, we can see the cross in a new way. What looked like defeat for the promised Messiah, we now see as the means of God's great victory. That Jesus is vindicated and Jesus is trustworthy. His teachings can be depended on. His promises can be relied on and his grace and salvation can be rested upon. Now we see Jesus' life and the good news and the kingdom he has brought to us are the fulfillment of God's given promises and hope that have rung throughout Scripture. We look back to where sin entered in. By the work of the lying serpent. And we remember the prophecy that from a woman would come a child. And the snake would strike his heel, but he would crush its head. The snake, the liar of old, our enemy Satan, lashed out at Jesus, striking him on the cross. But in the cross and by his resurrection, we see the triumph of Jesus defeating death and Satan and evil, ending their reign of terror and tyranny. And when we accept what Jesus has done for us, when we receive his salvation as gift, then new creation life comes to us. And there's nothing we have done to earn this. This is for everyone. Here is another promise of God fulfilled in Jesus and proven in the resurrection, God's promise to Abraham. That God promised Abraham that through Abraham's descendants would come one. That would take the blessing of being God's family and extend it to everyone, all families, all people included in being the blessed people of God. New creation is offered for everyone, even for those who have trouble thinking they need saving. For those we point to the cross and we show the depth of our problem. Out of love for us, God came to die for us. And in the resurrection of Jesus shows us that love is greater than death, good stronger than evil. And the love of God is open to all who will believe in Jesus. Tim Keller, a preacher, once said, "The gospel says that you are simultaneously more sinful and flawed than you ever dared believe. Yet more loved and accepted than you ever dared hope." And resurrection reveals that God's salvation is for all, even for those who mistakenly think that we need to do the work to make ourselves acceptable to God. Here, our risen Lord and what he taught about God's rule, coming in himself to make things right. The good news that Jesus taught that he has come to bring creation, new creation life for sinners. You see, Jesus taught us about a son and his father, and this son we call the prodigal son. A son who was proud and demanding. A son who shamed his father but not wanting to wait for his father to die and demanded his inheritance. And when given this gift, goes far away from the father and wastes it. So when disaster strikes, he is nothing. And he ends up feeding pigs, filthy, starving, stinking, longing to eat as good as the pigs he is feeding. And in that moment, the son, it's like he wakes up and he realizes, oh, what am I doing here? Well, here's what I can hope for. I can hope that I can go home and beg for my father's forgiveness. And maybe I can be a servant where I was once a son. I can be a servant in my father's household. And so he heads home. And what happens? While still a long way off, the father sees the son and he runs to him and the son tries to beg, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth and against you, forgive me. And just then the father wraps the son, his filthy, stinking, smelly, worn out son, and he welcomes him home and rejoices. And the father orders his servants to go and make a bath and throw a feast because his son who was lost is found. Was dead is alive. Jesus said, this is why I have come. To make it known that God the Father is like this and welcomes us just like this. Jesus has done all that is needed to bridge the gap and that we can be drawn back to God by his grace. Because of the resurrection, we can trust that God is really like that. That when by light of resurrection, we see Jesus as our King and our Savior, our God and our Lord. And then seeing Jesus like that, we turn from our sin and back towards God seeking forgiveness. Boom! Welcome home! Welcome first. And then, being welcomed, God makes us clean. We come home hoping, desperate to maybe be a servant. And our father's home, and his embrace tells us we are welcomed as his beloved child. And Jesus, God's grace, has thrown the doors of salvation wide open, even for those who think that they have done worse than this son, who think, oh, I have done too much wrong, or have sinned of such magnitude that I could not even be welcomed. In the 15th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, it's just this tremendous chapter on new creation and resurrection. Some, again, was read by our brother Wes, but in the 9th verse, Paul reminds us that he is least of the apostles and does not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. And Paul writes something similar in Romans 5, 9 to 11, as our sister Ivy read in the message paraphrase. Hear this great welcome to all to come into new creation life in Jesus. Paul wrote, since we have now been justified by faith, by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through it? For while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. See and hear in the resurrection of Jesus how God is getting a hold of us, drawing us by grace into salvation, and that it's for all, even the worst of sinners, even God's enemies. And so we see no one is too good, and neither is anyone too far gone to be beyond the love of God in Christ Jesus. And did you catch what Paul said about forgiveness and being right with God? It's only the beginning. The incredible gift of salvation and welcome is where we start in resurrection, new creation life. how much more? How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And this much more part, man, it stretches my mind. Ever since this happened, the church has been trying to get a hold of it, trying to make sense of it, trying to preach it, trying to live it out. We haven't exhausted it yet. It is so good, the how much more, that even when Jesus comes back and we have forever eternity with God, it cannot exhaust the how much more that God has for us. And so the rest of the service, we are going to open scriptures to just a few passages, a few pictures of what this much more will be like. But watch out. You know, in the time we have, it's like trying to fill a teaspoon with a fire hose. And I hope that we get just a taste. And as we do, that we would return. We would be stirred up to this thirst for what God has for you. And we would return to this abundance of new creation life and fill our teaspoons again and again and again, because Jesus has been raised from the dead and that we are in Christ sharing his life. So, as a starter, here's what I have. 3 teaspoons of new creation life. What does this look like? To describe and give pictures of resurrection life, man, it's like trying to ask me to speak about my marriage, the delight of my family, the awe-inspiring moments of my life. I could just keep going on and on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use those as metaphors, just 3. Right? Marriage, family, and awe. To do my best this morning to give us just a taste of the how much more God has for us. And then, when I'm done, it'll be your turn. Your turn to share what you are excited for, what stirs up hope and peace and joy in you as you look to what God is doing to bring resurrection life to fill up and renew all creation. So first, marriage points to resurrection. The faithful commitment between husband and wife is a running metaphor throughout all scripture of our relationship as his people with God. We have this intimate, exclusive, committed and living and faithful love to one another. Is God saying to us, this is who I am to you? And despite how we are now, how we once again will be to God. We see God reaching out to us to seek us when we draw away. We see God's commitment to be for us in his creation and his renewal. We see God's willingness to go to the cross and suffer and die because of his faithful love for his people, to free up his bride and to make her whole. That is the church. We are the church, his bride, and we see in the resurrection that God can do all that it takes to make up for our weakness, our failings, and that in his love for us, he will love us to the very end. How he is patient and merciful and powerful to fit us as his bride to be with God again forever. And an exclusive, intimate, committed, and faithful relationship forever. Marriage points forward and into that new creation life we will have because Jesus is raised from the dead. Reading from Revelation 16, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given for her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Family points to resurrection, new creation life. As I've mentioned before, God and Jesus is bringing his blessings from one family through Jesus to all the families, all the people, so that we all might be called children of God. All may be brought in by grace to be God's household, his family. And Revelation 4 and 5, there's this incredible chapters of visions of heavenly worship. And in Revelation 5, 9 to 10, we read this. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. They're singing this to Jesus because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. God's new creation life has done this for us. It's made us one. The blood of Jesus has brought people from every language, from every nation, from every tongue to be his people, his family, a kingdom of priests. No matter we are young or we are old, I'll try not to look at anyone on that line, male and female, rich and poor, we are one. We are a family with many languages and skin tones, backgrounds, and places of birth, but one in Christ Jesus. As our vision statement puts it, we are a family in the name of Jesus, led by the Spirit and desiring God. And when Jesus returns, and we are resurrected into bodies like his, and heaven, the place and rule of God, once again comes to fill up creation so we will dwell with God, it's going to be a family reunion. All who have come before us in faith, and ever after, and all right now, gathered in the name of Jesus, our elder brother, and we will live with our God forever. How good is that going to be? How good is it, church? I mean, here's the thing. We can look around even now. You can do this. Look around, see each other, and you get a glimpse of what is to come. And here's the other really cool part, church. How we live now points to that future. As we love and enjoy and care for one another, as we live out being a family that Christ has bought and made his own, has filled with his Spirit, as we are this family of image-bearing creatures who live to the glory of the Father, we are getting to announce how much more God has in store in new creation life. Awe points us to the resurrection life. Awe is this feeling, this sense of respect and wonder, and maybe even sometimes a little bit of dread, a little bit of fear when we encounter something bigger and grander and more majestic than ourselves. Some of these moments we have, and you know, it's no surprise. I think of hearing my children cry and getting to hold them for the first time. Awe. I can still see Rachel, my bride, coming through those doors almost 19 years ago, veiled in her wedding dress on our wedding day. Awe. Being privileged to witness someone come to Christ, that is awe. Being with a loved one and knowing their trust and witness that because Jesus has them, they are at peace even when they are dying. That is awe. And when Scripture is read and our hearts are set ablaze again with the hope of the good news, awe. And other times, awe breaks in and on unexpectedly. There are times I've been knocked off my socks and I can barely breathe in awe because of the strangest times. Recently, I was driving and this driver just went by me. No idea who she was, going the other way, and yet in that moment, the awareness that this person is someone from whom Christ died, someone who I know the Spirit is drawing to the Father, and someone who is an image bearer of God, and I could barely breathe. Sometimes this happens when I see you. The awareness of who we are in Christ Jesus and the value that God has for us. Awe. I remember once, on a long overdue rest, coming to the shores of the ocean, and I can barely move. Times when I've been walking and turned the corner onto my street and the light hits the frost, refracting and sparkling, crystallizing out into the vision of glory. Moments when my children are playing and they get along so well. Oh. Or maybe you know this as well. There are sometimes these moments when, you know, it's early in the morning and it's been a short night and you look to your spouse, unshowered, PJ'd, worn out, not in any way when they would say they are at their best. And in that moment, their beauty hits you like a freight train. Oh. Each of these moments so good. Each moment of awe pointing from this time to the time that is to come and full in creation. These moments are fleeting now, but then they will be forever. Now we see in part, in a mirror dimly, but then we will see God face to face. Now we have a foretaste. Then how much more? From Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from every eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall they be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. All that is wrong, redeemed and set right. All that is good, caught up and elevated. And when our resurrection comes at Jesus' return, God himself will fill us up and fill creation up and make his dwelling with us, his bride, his people. And we will be in awesome joy forevermore, for he is risen. As I said, these are just a few brief glances, a few teaspoons of the flood, the abundance of new creation life in Scripture. And I want Scripture to come and spring up this hope and this imaginations and this prayers that we are welcomed in to resurrection, new creation life. So, homework. For all of us, myself included, in the weeks ahead, as we celebrate the beginning of Easter and go into the season of Easter as we head back to our series on Exodus and we consider how God is forming and dwelling his people, as we prepare for Pentecost and baptisms, I want us to keep returning to Scripture on resurrection, new creation life. And if you're not sure where to go, I have a bit of a roadmap for you. I think we can let today's readings be our guide. I've taken just small samples out of these chapters, but they are excellent. So we can read and pray and dwell on Ephesians 2 and 3 on salvation and unity and fullness of love in Christ Jesus. May 1 Peter 1 draw us to hope and to holy living. We can join with Paul in exulting in the resurrection life of Jesus and its victory over sin and death and the life it brings us into in God and 1 Corinthians 15. May Romans 5 set our imagination soaring with how much more we have in Jesus. And let us see our future and how we get to enjoy it even now in the praise and unity of Revelation 4 and 5. And this glorious vision of our future with God forevermore and Revelation 20 and 21. Now soon I'm going to conclude from reading again 1 Peter, the reading that our sister Julia read at the beginning. But before I do, I want to hear us to hear from one another. What are you excited for and the resurrection life we have in Jesus? What teaspoon do you have to offer one another to say, look what God has done. Look at how much more we have to hope for in new creation life. So if you would like to share, raise your hand, and our brother Terry, I think, will bring you the microphone. Okay. I want to encourage you as you go from here to meals with family, as you celebrate this time, as we are in Easter season, to keep letting Scripture, keep looking to the how much more God has for us. Reading from 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who by faith are shielded by God's power into the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And all of this, you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trouble and trials. These have come to prove the genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let us pray. What an inheritance and gift we have in you, O Lord. What a life we have that now, what we have in you will never fail or spoil or perish. We can have your joy and your presence, your peace and your love. We have hope that we are shielded because we are in you. And you, O Jesus, have conquered all that would stand between us and new creation life. May we look to your resurrection at all times, even in trials, even in grief and suffering, of which we still endure, but may we endure them with joy as you did, O Jesus. May what you have done and are doing and will do resonate in us and burst out from us in great rejoice, and may joy mark our lives. Praise ring out as we are yours, as even now you have given us so much that is good. We can hardly comprehend how much more there is to come. Spirit, work in us and through us to be signs of how much more there is to come, because you, O Jesus, are resurrected and your new creation life is for us and for all who will believe. Amen.